As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Breaking into a Premier League first team is harder than ever. Every year, thousands of young players enter the youth academies. Every year, maybe a dozen will make their debut for a Premier League club. Only the very best of the best prevail. I'm Faye Carruthers. Welcome to The Next Big Thing. Frank Lampard is Mr. Chelsea.
What a break for Frank Lampard and Ricardo.
Despite a turbulent first season as manager, it's been a decent start. They were FA Cup finalists and achieved a top-four finish, even though there was a transfer ban imposed on the club. That meant, though, that Lampard had to rely on his youngsters. Fortunately for him, the Chelsea Academy is filled with some of the brightest talents in the country.
Good opportunity for Abraham. One-on-one with people, he's powerful.
Tammy Abraham now skips past Connor Cody!
Abraham chested down and volleyed home magnificently by Mason Mount.
Here's James. He might try it from distance.
And does! Oh!
Anything Brighton can do, Reece James can do better.
Recent academy graduates include Tammy Abraham, Reece James, Mason Mount. Go back a bit and you find Patrick Van Aanholt and Ryan Bertrand. And then even further down the line, Premier League winners Robert Huth and one John Terry. But now it's time for the next generation to step up, and among the lead contenders to be at the forefront is Lewis Bate. What sort of player is Lewis Bate?
He's a very small, quite slight, but very tenacious, and above all, very technically gifted central midfielder.
Liam Toomey, Chelsea correspondent for The Athletic.
The comparisons with Josh McEachran, former Chelsea Academy star, are there to be made, but Bate has forged his own path in Chelsea's academy. He's been a key part of the latest in their very successful teams. Captained the side in the FA Youth Cup final when they lost to Manchester City. And he projects to be a very significant figure in that age group going forward now, and he's already been on the fringes of the first team picture. It's very clear that Frank Lampard is certainly aware of him and rates him, but in particular Jody Morris and Joe Edwards really, really regard him very highly.
Lewis is a left-footed central midfielder, typically plays sort of the number six or number eight role, so deeper lying.
Phil, from the @ChelseaYouth Twitter account.
Covers a lot of ground between the two boxes. He's very tenacious. He likes to dictate the tempo when he's on the ball, but he's just as good off it as he is on it. So you'll see him lead the press for the academy teams, and he'll press up as high as the opposition's penalty area, and then he'll be back at the other end cleaning it up. So he's pretty much your modern box-to-box midfielder, has a little bit more style about him. Left-footed players tend to look a little bit more elegant on the ball. It might be a cliche, but they do. And apart from a little question over his size, because he's only about 5'5", he's got pretty much all the tools that you'd want from a modern-day player.
I suppose he's quite similar to Wilshere in stature.
Sam Parkin, former Chelsea Academy footballer and part of the Totally Football League show.
Maybe not in terms of going beyond people, but been able to dictate games from deep, from a deep line midfield position with that left foot, almost quarterback-like. So someone like Gareth Barry as well. And the other one that springs to mind, and it's because I played with this young player, is Matt Grimes, who's at Swansea. And people may say, well, it's only a Championship player, and I think Matt Grimes is probably 24, 25 now, but he is a Premier League player in waiting, in my opinion. And he's someone that is the fulcrum of Swansea's side. Everything goes through him. He's the link between defence and midfield, and that is one of Bates' biggest strengths, I think, being the connection between defence and midfield, integral in the modern game that teams want to play out from the goalkeeper. So Bate does that wonderfully well. Grimes has got an incredible range of passing, and I see that from Bate developing year on year. Short passing, crossfield balls, a big feature of his game, something he can still improve on. But those similarities to me are really evident, because when the team's playing well, everything goes through him.
Under Frank Lampard's stewardship, the pathway from academy to first team has taken a significant development. Liam Toomey explains.
It is really remarkable to take a step back and look at how much it's all changed over the past year. And I think it's been a unique set of circumstances that have all aligned to make this possible. So clearly the transfer ban was a factor. It made Chelsea look internally for squad reinforcements because they couldn't look outside. But just as importantly, I think it influenced their choice of manager, of their next manager to replace Maurizio Sarri. And I think if they didn't have the transfer ban, there's a live question as to whether they would have picked Frank Lampard, backed by Jody Morris and Joe Edwards, and such a kind of homegrown flavour to the first team coaching staff. But they decided to go in that direction in full knowledge that Lampard and Morris in particular were minded to give the Chelsea Academy boys a chance. And then by happy coincidence, you had a group of players like Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, Reece James, of course Callum Hudson-Odoi was already in the first team picture, and Ruben Loftus-Cheek a couple of years older. Fikayo Tomori was with Frank Lampard and Morris as well at Derby. All of these guys were around the same age, and at an age where they were no longer just raw 17, 18-year-olds, they were actually had some seasoning and were ready to be tested in the Chelsea first team environment. And Lampard had the courage to do that.
But is it likely to stay this way? Phil from Chelsea Youth.
For as long as Lampard and Jody Morris and Joe Edwards and the whole backroom staff are there, it absolutely will, because not only are they inclined to do so from the way that the last 12 to 18 months have gone, but they all have a connection to the academy that is more than just a token gesture. They've all worked in that academy, they have friends in the academy, and they know the quality that's coming through there. What happens in the future beyond Lampard, which is hopefully a long time to come, is anyone's guess, because it totally depends on what direction the Chelsea decide to move in after that. But once the door is open, it's hard to close as long as the quality is still coming through from the academy, and there's no sign of that quality dropping anytime soon.
One of the points he has made repeatedly since becoming manager is that he still had a choice. You know, he could have played Olivier Giroud all of last season. He could have played Ross Barkley. You know, he could have played more experienced defenders ahead of Tomori. But he instead empowered and established this group of academy players in the first team squad. And I think Chelsea are going to reap the benefits of that for years to come.
To finally see players that some of these people have worked with since the age of 6, 7 and 8 going on to represent the club and the country and making international headlines is such a source of pride for them. There was a comment from Jim Fraser, who's the assistant academy manager and sort of leads up a lot of the recruitment, who pointed out that as part of the club's kit launch over the summer, you had Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount emblazoned on the billboards around Trafalgar Square. And just for those guys in the academy to see something like that is such a source of pride.
One of the key members of Chelsea's backroom staff is Frank Lampard's right-hand man, Jody Morris.
Lampard and Morris worked together at Derby County, notably working with Mason Mount before stepping up to the Premier League. But as for Lewis Bate, how significant will Morris's presence be for the youngster's development?
I think that there's an obvious one. They're both undersized, tenacious midfielders who have an understated technical quality on the ball. And more than that, I think Jody's influence over the midfielders in the academy, both when he was there and now with those who are coming through to the first team and working with him. Billy Gilmore's a great example of that, of another undersized midfielder. It can't be understated how important Jody is to telling those guys what they need to do to have a successful career in the top flight and in the Premier League, because he faced those same challenges. It might have been 20, 25 years ago, but the game is still the game. They need to have an aggression about them, a tenacity and a willingness to do the dirty work. And I think both Billy Gilmore and Lewis Bate have got that.
Sam Parkin.
Yeah, well, Jody's someone I played with. He was the best young player in the area growing up for a number of years, and obviously got to play with him at Chelsea, albeit in the youth teams and the reserves. And fortunately, a few years later, I got to play with him again at St Johnston. And Jody is a student of the game. He gets football. He's got great ideas. He likes football being played the right way, which obviously fits beautifully at Chelsea. And for a midfield player, as Lewis Bate is, there is no one really better at that football club over the last couple of decades, because Jody was a phenomenal young player. He knows about the pitfalls as well. That's what he'll be passing on to the young players, especially the midfielders. So the likes of Gilmore and, of course, Bate, the next one on the production line, have got the perfect teacher there.
My colleague Simon Johnson wrote a very nice piece on Lewis Bate for The Athletic, which you can read as a subscriber now. And there's a story in there about Bate, one of the games that Jody Morris was watching him, getting kind of clocked by a heavy challenge early on, and everyone around going, ooh, and wondering how he'd react as he sort of picked himself up from a heap on the floor. And a few minutes later, he got a little bit of retaliation in on the player that had wronged him. And I think Morris particularly appreciated that.
In recent history, we've grown used to seeing Chelsea Academy starlets going out on loan up and down the Football League. In 2018-19, Chelsea had as many as 49 players go out on loan. So should we read anything into the fact that Lewis Bate isn't out on loan this season? Phil?
Not particularly. He only turned 18 last week. And Chelsea have really, I don't think anybody really loans out 17-year-olds unless they're in exceptional circumstances. The two that Chelsea have done in the last decade were Dominic Solanke a couple of weeks before he turned 18, and Nathaniel Chalobah, who was exceptionally precocious for a 17-year-old, a bit like Harvey Elliott is on loan at Blackburn from Liverpool now. So, I mean, I think there was interest in Lewis's services over the summer from clubs in League One, but especially with the current state of football and the later closing of the transfer window, I don't think there was anything to lose by keeping hold of him until at least January and then reappraising the situation. But I certainly don't think you need to rush him, because there's plenty of football for him to play this season at Chelsea, and whether it's January or next summer, there'll be plenty of suitors for him to go out and get his first taste of senior football.
Presuming Bate does go out on loan in the future, what are the benefits for young players? Sam Parkin knows firsthand its importance.
It was integral for my development. I think it gives you a real hunger to improve and make sure you're not going to be going back to academy football. That's one of the big pluses. I think going out to the Football League generally gives you a good concept of what football's like at that level, getting your head around potentially having to drop down if the opportunities are limited at the highest level, and, you know, to aspire to get back there. The biggest thing really is just seeing if you can handle it. You can play all those academy games, you know, across season after season, but it's not until you go out there into the Football League where points are at stake and, you know, there's real pressure. The real pressure, obviously, in front of fans, not at the moment, but, you know, that's one of the big things, adapting to that as well. So, yeah, I think it gives you that belief, really, and gives also the decision makers that confidence that you are a first team player now or in waiting. So, yeah, there's a number of things that the Chelsea hierarchy will be looking for when a player goes out on loan. And they're under the microscope, don't get me wrong. They are watched, they are spoken to, they're reported to. And, you know, I don't think they're under any illusions what the staff at Chelsea are looking for when they go on these temporary switches.
So how far can Lewis Bate go?
It's always the hardest question to answer. I think there's a Premier League footballer in there. And what the journey looks like for him might be a bit different, because you have to find clubs that trust an undersized midfielder, whether that's a loan move or not. We've seen that players at Chelsea no longer have to go on loan to get into the first team. The likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi, Billy Gilmour, Tino Angerin starting to get a look in. And Gilmour's the obvious comparison to make right now, because they are a similar sort of player. And you have the trust factor from Lampard and Morris. Bate was called into the first team picture during the restart when Gilmour picked up an injury and he was on the first team bench a couple of times. You don't get that level of promotion as a 17-year-old unless there's something about you.
In the short term, it's about being a success at under-23 level. I know how it works at that football club. They'll want him to be a regular in that team before he obviously goes anywhere near the Chelsea first team. But he's got a great opportunity. I think at Chelsea, it's going to be difficult to break through. I think it's going to be difficult for a few years. It'll be about being a success probably in the Championship or in League One. And then obviously maybe in the Premier League, a lesser club, a team that's not got the demands of Chelsea, i.e. what Conor Gallagher's doing this season. So difficult to predict, but I'm very confident that he's going to have a career. And, you know, from what I've seen so far, you know, he looks like he could handle himself in League One quite soon and maybe one day, you know, emulate what Billy Gilmour's done in the last couple of seasons.
As long as he is able to maintain his development and get plenty of reps in the next 2 to 3 years of competing against men in really high level competitive leagues, you know, the Championship would probably be really good for him if he landed at the right club. Then I think he's got the ability to be at the very least a Premier League midfielder for a long time, because he has shown that level of quality. But the thing with loans is that you can never be entirely sure. You know, you're outsourcing a player's development to another club that doesn't have a long-term stake in their development. So all sorts of things can go right and go wrong. And we've seen success stories in Chelsea squad right now, but there are plenty of others that haven't made the grade. But he in terms of talent, there are certainly no obstacles to him having a very, very good career.
Join us next time by listening on the Athletic app or by subscribing to The Next Big Thing on your favourite podcast provider. And if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, head to theathletic.com/nextbigthing. Thanks for listening. The Next Big Thing was produced for The Athletic by Abby Patterson. The writers were Abby Patterson and Ian McIntosh. Liam Toomey is the Chelsea correspondent for The Athletic. Phil can be found on Twitter, at Chelsea Youth. Sam Parkin is a former Chelsea Academy footballer and a regular guest on the Totally Football League show. The executive producer was Ian McIntosh.
Hello, listener. It's me, Matt Davis Adams, here to tell you why you need to be listening to the Totally Football League show. But apparently, I've only got 30 seconds to do so. Reason one, we cover the most football of anyone. That's 72 clubs in total. Reason two, our panellists played actual football in the EFL. Whoa. And reason three, our music sounds like George Clooney is organising a heist. Oh, did I mention that we're now a bigger show than ever before, going out twice a week? Now that's more commitment to the EFL than even Sam Parkin gave as a player. How often are the games coming, Sam?
Saturday, Tuesday.
That's the Totally Football League show, every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts. Did I do it?